Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Hello, good morning. Not going to pretend that it's not a sad day today. Inspiring, defiant, funny, rebellious, mischievous, troubled, compassionate, brave, and above all, a talent that shone with a brilliance unlike any other. We're obviously going to spend the greater part of today's programme remembering Sinead O'Connor with those who knew her, those who worked with her, and like so many of those who just admired her. This should be, I think, something of a communal thing as we all try and process losing someone who's been part of the musical backdrop for four decades. So please text us with your thoughts, your experiences, your memories of Sinead on 51551 or email todaycb@rte.ie. Some of the tributes paid this morning, Women's Aid Ireland tweeted, "Thank you, Sinead. Your power, your anger, your pain and fragility gave strength to many survivors to speak out." Ice-T, rapper, he wrote a tribute that reads, "Respect to Sinead. She stood for something unlike most people. Rest easy." The president said she'd been an unmatched talent. Many, many, many others will hear them throughout the course of the programme. I'm joined on the line by Cóirte Riordan, musician, former bass player with The Pogues, and also by singer-songwriter Brian Kennedy. Morning to both of you. Cóirte, what are your thoughts today?
Morning. Morning, lads. How are you?
Yeah.
Hard to answer that question, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah.
Which is why I leave in the stunned silence. What are your thoughts this morning?
My head is actually spinning. There's so many what ifs with Sinead, and just hearing you there mentioning the tributes, Women's Aid and Ice-T, you just think who else would span that? It's incredible. And I was, when I heard the news last night, immediately all the memories come back of the times we crossed paths, and but then I just think sorry, I'm garbling here. I think the fact that you're paying tribute to her today is beautiful, because I really don't think she knew how loved she was. I think she'd be amazed. Yeah. That was always the impression I got. How about you, Brian? You sang with her.
I did, Cóirte, and it's so good to hear you say all of those things, because she just was one of those people that in one breath she was a lioness and a lamb, you know, in terms of, I don't think you're right, she would never have known that so she touched so many people's lives, because, you know, I think she was a very solitary person ultimately. You know, she walked the world in a very particular way, even though, you know, it's such a dichotomy to be such a public figure and yet to feel so alone. You know, certainly when I was ever able to be in the studio with her, recording with her, to be right beside that voice, it was otherworldly, first of all. And second of all, she was always saying, did I do it right? Did I do it good enough? Is it good? Was it in tune? She was a lot of self-doubt about it too. And you just think, Sinead, you've just given us an incredible vocal. Are you kidding me? But I suppose that just doesn't change in people, does it? And right up until the end, you know, I mean, the last time I saw her, she was, although she was broken beyond repair in so many ways, there was also that still there was a little bit of a light. So even though, if I'm honest, you know, Philip and Cóirte, you know, I always hoped this day would never come. But when I heard the news last night, I'm in Liverpool, I just sat stunned thinking, well, look, the thing to think about here is that awful pain is over. She's out of it now.
There have been so many near misses in recent years that you did always fear that this day was going to end up coming. But can we please just rewind the clock to the mid-1980s and the appearance first of this remarkable talent? I mean, Cóirte, what was your first reaction when you heard her?
Oh, man, I got a tape. I think it was BP Fallon before The Lion and the Cobra came out. He had a few cassette tapes out in the studio, and he was passing them around to people to just say, you know, this is the next thing and you have to know about it, and if you can help, help. So of course played it, and I don't remember a lot of my life very clearly, but I remember Troy. I remember when that track started and being absolutely rooted to the spot, like didn't want to breathe too loudly. One of those moments in my life. And it was incredible. And once it was over, played it again. Like, did that just happen? And it was the completeness of it. You know, the perfection of it. And you were like, how old is she? Where is she from?
I know. It wasn't a debut album so much as it was an announcement. I have arrived, folks. Listen up and pay attention. Do you remember it, Brian?
Yeah. Oh, I bought it. Lion and the Cobra, I went out and bought it. I heard the single Mandinka and I just thought, what is this? And then when you delve deeper into the album, it was one of the first albums in a long time that you hear somebody speaking Irish on it. You know, I hadn't heard that for a long time either. And just the cover, you know, the kind of the chaos of the cover. And then the first time I saw her on Top of the Pops, it was like, wow. It's like when you see Boy George or somebody, you just see kind of culture and mythology come together in the same breath. And suddenly you think, I've never seen that before. A bald woman with an electric guitar jumping around the stage. Like, it was extraordinary. And that voice.
I know. Yeah. The complete package. I mean, a brilliant lyricist, the most unearthly voice, sexy, edgy, rock and roll. It's kind of unfair, isn't it, Coach, that one person should embody so many different talents?
No, not at all. Once in a generation, somebody comes along and for us, it was her. She was like, to me, she looked completely normal because, you know, I grew up in London in the punk scene. So the reaction to how she physically looked was always seemed a bit icky to me. And women in the punk scene, we were like, oh, you know, simmer down, lads. But because for us, she was like.
She coped with that brilliantly, though, didn't she? She didn't allow men to look at her in that way.
Yeah, well, but unfortunately, she had to react so powerfully. She had to push back so strongly. She had to do so much work to counter that. You know, she was dealing with it constantly. But if she was Joe Strummer, it wouldn't have been an issue. You know, it's kind of the worst thing that ever happened to her that. She was so beautiful and so massively successful.
Do you think when you look back on all of the outrage post-1992 and the ripping up of the picture of the Pope, that a male artist would have had to have dealt with that, Brian?
I don't think a male artist was brave enough. We have had stars of that magnitude over the years. We've had, of course, we've had Bono. We've had all kinds of people out there. No one was brave enough except Sinead. For me, that sums her up in a heartbeat. She was so brave and so truthful. And she had this way of looking down the lens. And it was like she was speaking to you only directly. And clearly it was something that was really troubling her. And look, people vilified her at the time. But my goodness me, did those pigeons come home to roost. She was right in every single word that she said. You know, and she's absolutely one of me. I have very few heroes in my life, but she's absolutely one of them.
I was just thinking, Coach, that it's kind of notable, isn't it, that last night, alongside the tributes to her, we're also looking at a report into child and adolescent mental health services in the country. And, you know, it's been confirmed now, once again, something that Sinead was saying quite a long time ago.
The timing of that is just head spinning, literally. Like, I was listening to the news yesterday and the news about the Children Adolescent Mental Health Report, and the first thought that came to my mind is that this is what Sinead was saying. She's vindicated again, and then literally 10 minutes later, the news about her came through. Did she know? Did she know she'd been vindicated? But I hope she did. But again, what difference could it have made? She knew from her life. She kept saying things, and she would have to push back against this reaction that she's provoking people.
It is the perfect rebuke, though, to those who would raise their eyes to heaven when Sinead spoke, because she was right about so much of this, Brian.
She was right.
She was right, but I suppose it speaks to still the too loud misogyny that's going on here. You know, that because somebody was so brave and she happened to be a woman, and let's face it, women suffered the most in these situations. They were the ones, if a young woman was pregnant, she was put in a home. The men didn't have to face up to anything. So yet again, here we are, and Sinead takes all of the heat and none of the men do in that situation. So the misogyny is rife, sadly still rife, but you know what? And thank goodness, if there's any consolation out there, we get two things. We have Rememberings, her incredible book that she wrote herself, but it goes so long to explain exactly why she was the way that she was. And her recorded music. There's a song that she recorded with Phil Ramone called Success Has Made a Failure of Our Home. And it's just haunting me at the moment, because I just think, oh my God, you poor thing. All of those words have come true because, you know, unfortunately, the worst thing that could have happened to her was that she became world famous.
Brian Cott, stay with me. I want to bring another voice in here. Philip King, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Philip. How are you?
What are your thoughts this morning?
Well, we're bereft. The music community, the singing community of Ireland is bereft. I think Ireland as a nation is bereft and deeply sad. And from the news being released yesterday to John Creedon's truly magnificent programme last night, like across the airwaves and across RTE Radio 1 and Radio 2, there has been an outpouring of both grief and affection and love for Sinead O'Connor, one of the world's greatest ever singers, one of the world's greatest ever artists. And I'm always reminded of Frank Hart's little phrase when he said, if you want, Frank Hart was the great song collector who lived in Dublin. But he always said, if you want to know the facts, consult the history books. If you want to know what it felt like, ask a singer. And what Sinead did was live in the world of feelings. And I would have to say this, that you mentioned the 1980s, the dark 1980s in Ireland, when we were still more enclosed than we thought we were. Migration and economic migration out of the country was continuing. The Catholic Church still held sway. And she was a person who would open the doors, would tear down what was necessary to be torn down. And what the artists have done, and if we listen to them, to the eloquence of the artist. I think it was Jacques Attali, the French political philosopher, who said, what singing does is it makes audible the thing that gradually becomes visible. And if we listened to Sinead, had the courage to listen to her and take her on board, we might have had a sensation of a portrait of a possibility for a more diverse, pluralist Ireland, which we're enjoying right now. But
it's remarkable, isn't it, Philip, that, I mean, Brian Ancoach has said this really in so many words, that Sinead was out there providing a roadmap that we didn't actually start walking down until about 10 years later.
Well, the musicians always have it, Philip. I mean, I think Jacques Attali was right. He said musicians are the heralds of the future. We tend in Ireland not to recognise that. We have in our makeup, and here we are 100 years since independence, talking about the death and the loss of Sinead O'Connor in 2023, 100 years since the foundation of the state. And her role and the role of so many artists has been to give us that roadmap. Sometimes we will take it, sometimes we will not. But if we have eyes to see and ears to listen, we will hear it. I think that there's something very important going on here at the moment. And I think when I go back and look at Sinead's record, the Shannos Nua record, for example, the one that she put together sort of with songs out of the tradition. And, you know, she sang My Singing Bird and she sang My Lagging Love and she sang so many of those great songs. When we start to think right now about what Lancome and John Francis Flynn and Lisa O'Neill are doing, the zeitgeist is in that thing that comes out of the well of tradition. And at heart, for me, Sinead was what I would call a traditional singer. The song, she didn't sing the song sang her. She inhabited the song like nobody else I have ever, ever seen. She came to Dingle and did the Other Voices piece and stood on the stage in the little church and sang her heart out, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And then, by contrast, I remember in the round room of the Mansion House, filming a show that she did with Sly and Robbie, the great rhythm section from Jamaica, pounding it out behind her. And as somebody, I think Brian said a little earlier on, she could go from, you know, being a lamb to a lion. And boy, you know, when she opened that voice to sing, you know, something happened. She displaced air. And to use Seamus Heaney's beautiful line, she sang herself to where the singing comes from, Philip. And I think that that is where she is now. She is in that place that every singer, and Koch will know it, and Brian will certainly know it, that when you close your eyes to sing and you open your voice to sing, you go to another place. And that is the place that the singing comes from. And it is there that she is right now.
She was so versatile as well, though, Philip, wasn't she? I mean, yes, you've paid tribute to her leaning into the traditional genre, but also she was the composer of these most perfectly formed pieces of pop. And the connection that is being made with the people who are corresponding with us this morning. Just let me bring you some of these as a sample of how people connected with her as a performer. Julie says, rest in peace, you beautiful, powerful being. Your voice ignited and excited everything inside me growing up. No one could ever possess the level of talent, originality, power, beauty and courage that you had. You were our icon. John, again, lovely little moment showing the personal connection that the woman had. My memory of Sinead is the 3rd of June, 1993. My daughter was born in the rotunda. I go outside to move the car. I bump into her. I blurt out, I've become a dad. Hooray, what you have, she said. A girl. Her eyes sparkled, genuinely sparkled. There's something, there was some quality about her. I wonder, because you worked so closely alongside her in studio and saw her perform, what was it that she had? What was that X factor?
Commitment and absolute belief in the power of the song, the redemptive power of the song. And I saw that happen in a very personal way for myself, Philip. Frank O'Connor, the great short story writer who wrote Guests of the Nation and The First Confession, was also a translator of old Irish poems. He wrote two books, one called Kings, Lords and Commons, but one that I came across called The Little Monasteries, translations from Irish poetry, mainly of the 7th to the 12th centuries. I came across this book and I was working back then with a band called Scullion, still playing away today, and I wrote a song called I Am Stretched on Your Grave, which the lyric from this particular book of translations. And I got a phone call, and the phone call, somebody rang me to tell me that Sinead O'Connor had recorded this song. And I went back into my little archive of books and I picked it out this morning when I knew I'd be speaking to you, Philip. And I came to page 26 of The Little Monasteries. And the first verse is so poignant right now. I am stretched on your grave and would lie there forever. If your hands were in mine, I'd be sure we'd not sever. My apple tree, my brightness, 'tis time we were together, for I smell of the earth and am worn by the weather. And Sinead picked this little air that I had written to that verse and several other verses and stuck in the skankiest, funkiest backbeat and turned it into an absolutely rip-roaring, powerful song about the loss of love, the pain of rejection, the end of the affair, and what will I do now except go and lie on your grave. And I think about it today, so powerful, so poignant, and so beautiful.
Very, very much so. Coach, when did you last see her?
Oh, it's been 5 years now, when we had that wonderful celebration for Shane McGowan at the National Concert Hall. And Sinead was one of the artists. Of course, her and Shane, they wrote together, they performed together. They had a great bond. But on the night, it was a big glitzy affair, and there was a first half, and then people went out to get their drinks or whatever, and for the second half they were doing the National Concert Hall thing of bong, please go back to your seats, and people started shuffling back in, and Sinead, unannounced, just walked out on the stage, and there was a moment where just this amazing moment where people just went, oh, Sinead! And it erupted. It was the most glorious wave of love just coming up from the audience at her. And I'm watching her face. I was in the house band that night, and we were all huddled in the sides because she was just going to perform with piano. Mm. And her face, she looked surprised. That's what just keeps haunting me. She looked surprised.
So you don't think that she knew that she was loved?
I think she knew in moments. Do you remember last year she won the Classic Irish Album Award?
Yeah.
And she was so happy and delighted. And I think oftentimes when people who are struggling with their own mental health and they feel life very raw and you know, too deeply almost for a healthy life, it's hard to join the moments together. And I think that's where we've lost her, joining the moments together, because all that's happened now since we got the news is love. People talking about how much they love her, and yet she lost that thread in between.
God, you really do hope that she appreciated and she knew those moments and she knew that she was.
I hope so. Can I just say? I really, if Irish people can learn anything, not just Irish. I've got the New York Times here. She's on the front page, and they're calling her a pop singer with, you know, with a difficult personality. Can we all just say to herself, can we be tolerant of? And I'm doing the air quotes here. Difficult people, when we feel challenged by someone's behaviour, like Sinead constantly challenged us, can we all just take a moment and just say, this is coming from a real place. They're not doing it to us. Can we just be kind to people? Can we soften ourselves to people like Sinead?
And if you find them difficult, ask yourself the question, what is it in you that finds them difficult, rather than what is it in them that's the problem?
Thank you. Yes,
Coach,
exactly.
Coach and Brian and Philip, thank you very much. Still plenty more to come. I want to play a little bit of music, though, and it's a song that I think Brian referred to earlier on as the wow, what the hell was that moment? Because I know everybody talks about Nothing Compares to You, but the song and the album that announced Sinead O'Connor to the world, announced all of this raw energy and this activist power, was The Lion and the Cobra, and in particular, the standout song. Well, for me anyway, personal choice is this one. God, what a voice, what a legacy. More of your tributes, Ken in Dublin. What a woman. I, like so many others, loved her. She was the most beautiful soul. What a devastating loss. I am the same age as Sinead. I share her name too. And growing up in the 80s, I looked up to her in so many ways. I loved her voice and what she stood for. She inspired me and all my friends at that time and loved her all throughout her career. A beautiful, strong woman has left us, but she will never be forgotten. Rest in peace, Sinead, from your namesake. Our reporter, Evelyn O'Rourke, has been out in Dublin city centre last night as the news filtered through to people, and she heard their reactions.
I'm devastated.
Yeah.
I'm really, really sad. She's a world-renowned voice. Everyone knows the voice of Sinead O'Connor.
She comes on, you're like, that's Sinead O'Connor.
I think every single person in Ireland will take a moment to think about it and to think about her impact. It's just devastating.
I was working at a gig in Vicar Street years ago. I went in for a couple of songs and amazing, yeah.
So it was that thing of her charisma, her stage presence?
Yes, held the room and she's just standing there on stage by herself. It's amazing.
Devastated. Completely stopped me in my tracks, yeah.
What did she mean to you?
I just think she was so ahead of her time and she was let down by so many systems.
Tell me about her voice. What did her music, her voice mean to you, her singing voice?
Chills. I think she was so unbelievably talented and not really recognised enough for it, and I'm just really sad for her.
So how did you find out?
So we were sat in Jackie's Bar down by the Liberties, and they're on their way to Vicar Street for a gig, and they always play Ringing in the Ears on the TV in Jackie's, and literally just checked her phones and saw that Sinead had died. And as we looked up on the Ringing in the Ears, Nothing Compares to You was playing on the telly. It's just like shivers.
But it shows how her soundtrack, her voice is such a part of Ireland, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And you know what makes me really sad now is that she'll be really celebrated now. and people will talk about how great she was and all the things she did for women's rights and all the things she said about the church, and nobody supported her when she was saying those things, and that's what's really sad.
As a queer person, Sinead O'Connor changed my life. She introduced me to Ireland, and I've been here for 5 years and I love her.
I hope Dublin does something. I hope there's something this weekend that people can come together and celebrate her legacy and people can mourn together.
Yeah, just like they did for Christy Dignam. Yeah. And it was only a couple of weeks ago to lose two such icons in such a short space of time. Very sad.
Evelyn O'Rourke talking to some people in Dublin City Centre last night. I'm joined now by Morgan McIntyre of St. Sister. Good morning to you, Morgan.
Good morning. How are you doing?
It's a terrible cliche, but it's a cliche because I suppose it's partly true. To what extent do performers of your generation feel that you stand on the shoulders of somebody like Sinead?
Oh, gosh. We all do. And when the news came in, I'm in a WhatsApp group full of other women musicians, and everyone echoed that sentiment. Just, I feel like we're all doing stuff now. We're singing songs now. We're taking part in political movements now that we wouldn't have been able to had Sinead not forged her path and so alone as well and treated so cruelly in the aftermath. It's absolutely devastating news and a real knock to all of us.
Do you know what, listening to Evelyn's vox pop there, strikes me is the age of the people that she was talking to who had been touched by her, who wouldn't even have been born for the first two decades of Sinead's career, yet she meant so much to them.
Yeah, and my first recollections of hearing Sinead's music was through my mother, and she would have played them. Music first, songs first. We were talking about her voice, her lyrics, and then she would have told me about her politics. And that really drew me in. And then later, when YouTube became a thing, I remember my mum walking me to the computer, sitting me down, putting on Troy, putting on Nothing Compares to You, so I could see her artistry and all the brave visuals.
Well done, mum. And what impact did that have?
I know, exactly. And I think what's really important about Sinead and what's really been felt, I think, across, especially for young women musicians, is that we're all kind of living in this world now where we're encouraged to acquiesce and kind of people please and go along with the flow, and that is kind of encouraged, and you feel like you can't really step out. And she just did not do that. Like, she had the most convictions of anyone I know. I think she was just a one in a million, and to be able to, first of all, know the difference between right and wrong, and then second of all, have the bravery to kind of hold steadfast to those views and speak truth to power when everyone is basically laughing at you and screaming at you. I feel like we could all do with a lot more of her bravery.
It is amazing, isn't it, when you think back to that moment, those two roads diverging in 1992, when she stood literally with the world kind of at her feet, and she could have been as big and as huge as she wanted to, but she said, no, that's not going to be my path. That's pretty inspirational, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think the thing about Sinead, she did not want fame. She wanted to make music, and she wanted to make a space where people could feel, and she could feel and communicate hurt and love and all the things that songs and music can do for people. That was her goal. And I think you can really tell when you're listening to her music, because that is what she is for so many people. But she did not want to fame. Thank God she used her fame to speak on behalf of those who were oppressed. And she did use the voice that she had, but she ran away from, or she wanted to run away from all the negative aspects of the fame, and she did not chase it.
I'm joined also by Hothouse Flower and Radio 1 broadcaster Fiacnó No Brennan. Good morning, how are you?
Good morning, Philip. Well, as Philip King said earlier, bereft is the word.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I ask you to share with us first a text message that you received this morning?
That I got this morning?
From somebody who described her voice to you.
Well, the one message that sort of stood out for me this morning was a tweet, actually, that I read from Flea, who of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, who said that for all of us street kids, for all of us wildlings, he said, when Sinead got huge, it felt like one of us made it, you know. And I don't know if that's the one you're referring to, but that's the one that springs to mind right now. You know, I got another message from an old friend of mine in Italy, a great music writer called Davide Sapienza, who was in and around Irish music back in the mid-1980s. Like, I mean, he knew about Hot House Flowers before we'd made a record. He knew about Sinead O'Connor before she made a record. And he did send me a message actually this morning, and I'm sure this is the one you're referring to. And he said, when he heard those very, very early recordings, I think the same ones that Coit was talking about, that BP had, years and years ago, he just knew at that moment that he had heard the voice of the universe. And I just thought, what a beautiful way to sum up her voice, you know?
The voice of the universe. I was in school with Sinead, and I 1984, five, the Irish teacher, who spotted her, who got her to do a demo tape, also organised for herself and a buddy of hers, Jeremy Maber, to do a performance for pretty much all the kids in school in Waterford, who were all a little bit nonplussed by the end of it, after she had just did a couple of numbers, covers of a Bob Dylan song, I think, One More Cup of Coffee. There was not one single person there who was not absolutely convinced. It almost didn't need to be said that this woman was going to be an international superstar, because she was just so assured, so powerful, such an amazing performer. But it was almost when, I think, whatever, 8-9 years later, when she makes one of the most iconic music videos of the 20th century, that, you know, you're saying, oh, it took you this long to do that, because of course you were always going to do something that amazing.
Extraordinary. I mean, she knew how to, I mean, she inhabited every song she sang in her own way, you know. I mean, I think Sinead, I think the thing that has to be said about Sinead is that she just followed her heart and her instinct at all times, you know. And I'm sure, you know, when her heart got broken and when that instinct became challenged, things became difficult, you know. But the voice, I mean, when she, from the great American songbook to the songs from the Irish tradition, to her own songs, her own beautiful songs on Universal Mother and on Gospel Oak. I mean, I'm thinking just songs that spring to mind this morning to me, where, you know, songs as simple and as beautiful as Thank You for Hearing Me, a song of gratitude to those around her, to whom she felt grateful at that particular moment in time. The songs like on Gospel Oak, like This Is to Mother You, which obviously when poor Shane passed away not that long ago, was the one that I just kept going back to and reduced me to, you know, put me in flitters every time I listened to it, thinking of Sinead. But she was, you know, we shared some, she was like a sort of a family member at one point. You know, we were neighbours back in the 1990s, and her eldest boy, Jake, who's now in his mid-30s, used to come around and play in our garden with my kids. And, you know, she'd drop Jake off whenever she, you know. And so, you know, she was like a family member. It's like losing a family member in a way, you know. And we had lots and lots of friends in common. And we're all reeling. We're reeling from this.
Well, you'll know, because I think most people might imagine her as being somebody who was very intense and always in campaigner or activist mode. But she was actually somebody with a wicked sense of humour as well, wasn't she?
She was incredibly funny. She had a great sense of humour. She was she could slag you. She could take a slagging. She could dish it out as good as she got it as well, in a very, very funny way. She was also incredibly smart. You know, you could talk to her about so many things. We had many, many great conversations. I mean, going back to, I mean, her, you know, early conversations. When I think back, we were in our early to mid-20s, and she was talking about the Catholic Church in Ireland, and she was talking to me about child abuse and talking about stuff that nobody else was talking about, you know, with such insight and intelligence and calm as well as anger, you know. It's remarkable human being.
Terrible loss. Vigna, thank you very much. And Morgan McIntyre. And Philip King mentioned a little bit earlier on John Creedon's absolutely transcendent tribute programme last night, organised in absolute jig time as well. 2.5 hours of the music, Sinead O'Connor. Well, you can listen back to the whole programme on the RTE Radio app, and I don't think that there will be a better way to spend 2.5 hours of your day today. Time for us to play a little bit more music. I think this was part of the soundtrack of the 2003 film Veronica Guerin. The film ends with this beautiful song, One More Day. So many more memories and tributes coming in on 51551. Roisin remembers that moment that she stood in Madison Square Garden with her 2 feet planted firmly on the ground as many, many people in the audience booed her in reaction to the ripping up of the picture of the Pope. Roisin says, I was lucky enough to attend the Bob Dylan 30-year tribute concert in 92 in Madison Square Garden and angered by the audience booing her. But she held her own. She responded bravely as only Sinead could. My heart is broken today. We have lost one of our all-time greatest artists and truth-tellers long before anybody wanted to hear it. R.I.P. A beautiful soul, says Roisin. Many other tributes being paid by you, many other tributes still to be paid in the second hour of the programme. Right now, though, I need to take a break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.